Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. More Monday morning politics now. With the New York City mayoral election now settled, the next race up is Governor Cuomo's re-election campaign and anybody who challenges him for November of next year. And if you think it's too early to talk about that, consider this. It may put the governor on a collision course with Mayor-elect de Blasio, especially on de Blasio's desire to raise taxes on the top 1% of income earners in the city to pay for universal pre-K. De Blasio would need state approval. In fact, Cuomo has appointed a task force specifically to report to him on how to lower taxes in 2014. I spoke last week to the co-chair of that task force, former Republican Governor George Pataki, who's come under criticism from both right and left for being in that position with Democrat Cuomo in the first place. I asked Pataki first about criticism from the right that his presence helps Cuomo to fool people into thinking Cuomo is a fiscal conservative when really he taxes and spends like a liberal Democrat.
Well, whenever you get involved, you can your involvement can be used in a political way. And it was a difficult decision for me, but ultimately I'm a New Yorker. I love this state. I spent 12 years as governor and another 10 years as a legislator trying to make it a better state. One of the hallmarks of what I did was cut taxes. We cut taxes by $143 billion over the 12 years cumulatively I was governor. And the taxes in New York are too high. So ultimately, I decided what is right for the state that I love. And that is to take the amount of funding that the governor has said is available and to try to get the best benefit for the taxpayers of this state by utilizing those funds. It has nothing to do with politics from my standpoint. I'm a Republican. I expect my party to field a strong candidate, and I expect that I will be helping that candidate. But it is about the future of New York, and whenever someone asks me in good faith, will you help this state become a better place, I'm going to do that because it is the state I've lived my whole life in. I'm grateful to the people of this state for the tremendous opportunities they have given me, and I'm going to continue to do what I can to make this state better.
And from the left, the Working Families Party says you lowered taxes, like you said, but mostly on the wealthy. And in this era when 95% of the income gains since the financial crisis have gone to the top 1%, someone who might call for that sort of policy again would be very wrong-headed. So do you think these times are different than those?
Sure, these times are different. They are difficult times, but I also think that when you have one of the highest tax burdens on the small business owners who create the jobs and economic opportunities in this state, you drive them out. And it's not class warfare. It's a function of what is right for the people of this state. And when I took office, we were dead last in the country in attracting private sector jobs. Today, we are still in desperate need of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of more good-paying private sector jobs. And you don't get those by raising taxes on small business owners. You get them by lowering the taxes on the people who don't work a 40-hour week. They don't belong to a union. They work 80, 90 hours a week trying to create a business and create a better future for themselves, and in the process creating the jobs that every single New Yorker and Americans need. So I'm not at all apologetic about the fact that I don't believe in class warfare. We're all in this together. And whenever we can make this state a place where people are more inclined to stay, to invest, to open a business, to create jobs, I'm going to fight for that.
Just one more follow-up on that. I read that the goal of the commission is to cut $2 to $3 billion, as stated numbers, from state revenues. And the Working Families Party says one important way to lower property tax pressure, which is so intense in the state, as you know, is more state spending for education so school districts don't have to choose between higher property taxes and defunding their schools. Do you disagree with that entirely?
Yes, I do. I disagree completely. When I was governor, we put billions in higher aid into school districts. We created school tax relief programs like the STAR program. and the taxes just kept going up and up and up. Obviously, it's a balancing act, as most things in government are. You can't starve school districts of the aid that they need, or they have no recourse. But on the other hand, you can't give them continually more money and expect that somehow, miraculously, that will result in lower property taxes. It just not has not happened. So it's a balancing act. Once we had the state's finances straightened out, once we had made significant tax reductions so that we could turn the economy around, we did make record investments in higher school aid to school districts across the state. I ended when I was governor the imbalance where New York City got less aid as a percentage of state aid than its enrollment, its student representations. I changed that by providing more aid for the city and other school districts. But that's not the answer in and of itself. The answer is doing everything we can to make this place have a stronger tax structure where people want to invest, want to live, want to open a business, want to create jobs, and want to have their future. And to do that, you have to lower taxes, particularly on those who create the jobs.
Former Governor George Pataki, thank you so much for your time.
I really appreciate it. Take care.
And we recorded that interview with Governor Pataki last week. Joining us live now is the Daily News Albany Bureau Chief, Ken Lovett. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
And again, reminding people who may have just tuned in of the context, Pataki is now the Republican co-chair with Democrat Carl McCall on a Governor Cuomo task force looking into ways to lower taxes in 2014, which happens to be Cuomo's reelection year. So, Ken, is your understanding that that commission is specifically to find ways to lower taxes as a fait accompli outcome rather than decide whether taxes should be lowered?
Yeah, he has a separate commission for tax reform that apparently, according to people inside, he wasn't happy with their direction, so he formed this one. This one is to look at cutting taxes, where they can cut taxes. What's interesting is the governor himself has said that he's not interested next year in necessarily cutting the income tax, which is really the chief tax a lot of people think of when they think of the state cutting taxes. He says he wants this commission to look at, you know, new ways to cut property taxes, which really the state doesn't have a huge influence over, other than if it does some kind of a change to the STAR program that Pataki mentioned in that clip. Also, the estate tax the governor's mentioned. So we'll see what they come up with. I know that George Pataki has said to people that even though Cuomo hasn't said he wants to do the income tax, he still wants to push for some kind of income tax cut.
And listeners, if you have any reaction to that Pataki interview or to the notion of lowering taxes of one kind or another in 2014 as a policy agenda item of Governor Cuomo, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. For Ken Lovett, Daily News Albany Bureau Chief. So Ken, on that issue that I raised with Pataki at the end about the income, the impact of a potential state tax cut on local school districts, does Governor Cuomo say anything about a potential cut in state aid to education if they have less money to spend in Albany, forcing local property taxes up as he takes credit for cutting state taxes, or is he looking for a way to actually cut local property taxes while not defunding local schools?
I think that it's the latter. He has not talked about cutting school funding. He has said frequently during his campaign and since that the answer to the education problems in New York is not spend, spend, spend. You can't constantly spend your way. New York leads the nation in education spending, and it hasn't really worked. However, and he did cut spending his first year, but since then they've increased spending, and my expectation, especially in an election year, is he's not going to want a budget that's going to anger a lot of people. He's not going to seek to cut education spending, but he will try and find a way to probably beef up the STAR program, which is the school property tax program. Rebate program that I think that's what it'll end up being looking like.
Particularly for senior citizens, the STAR program?
No, for sure. But yeah, but everyone benefits from it. If you own a house, it's not as big a program in New York City because property taxes aren't as big an issue in New York City as they are in the suburbs and upstate. But it it benefits everyone. The seniors benefit more, but it certainly benefits any property owner.
Right, and we should mention that in New York City, the schools are funded out of the general fund. There's not such a specific tie between property taxes and how much money there is for schools. So this is largely an issue for places other than New York City and New York State, at least that aspect of it. So this is good election year politics if Cuomo can pull this off, lowering property taxes for people and maybe state taxes, and at the same time not defunding education and probably adding more to education because that's such an important item, you know, to so many people around the state. Can he pull it off?
Yeah, I think he can. He certainly, they're expecting a $1.8 billion surplus, I believe it is, that the comptroller just said, projected for the end of the fiscal year. You know, a lot of the heavy lifting will probably not even come out of the state's coffers, although we'll see it. And he has vowed to keep state spending an increase in state spending that would not go above 2% from the previous year. Education will probably get more. Last year, I think education got a 4% increase, while the rest of the state was either flat or got a couple of percent.
So is he on a collision course with Bill de Blasio now, the mayor-elect, because de Blasio specifically needs Cuomo's approval to raise the city income tax on people making $500,000 a year and use that money for pre-K, as the mayor-elect wants? Is Cuomo going to rebuff that because he doesn't want to be seen in the election year as raising taxes on anybody?
Yeah, I think both Cuomo and the Senate Republicans, you know, you can't forget about them. They help control the chamber, and they're looking to maintain or grow. They'd like to get their full majority back, and so I don't think they're going to accept a tax increase in the coming year. That said, my guess would be that Cuomo and the Republicans will try and find a way where they could fund de Blasio's plan without raising taxes. That way de Blasio gets the win of full-day universal pre-K, and Cuomo can run around saying that he stopped a tax hike.
Larry in East Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Can you clarify something about de Blasio's tax proposal? Exactly how much money are we talking about? If you're making $500,000, if you're making $1 million, how much would those people's taxes go up?
Okay, fair question. And Ken, help me out on this with all your actuarial abilities. My understanding is that this would be about a half a percentage point more on the city income taxes for people making $500,000 or more, and that it's not a half a percentage point on everything you earn, but only on that top bracket of what you own, of what you earn, right? So it would be, if you are making $500,000 a year, how much more would that be per year in your city income tax bill? Have you crunched it?
That I have not. Our city hall people could probably tell you that.
Yeah.
I have not crunched those numbers.
And I think it's, well, you'd have to figure out where the where that highest bracket begins, but I think it's about $1,000 to $2,000 a year. That's my guess, but that's not definitive.
Now, and look, you know, the governor's argument has been that people weren't happy. If you recall that when the governor came into office, there was a real push to raise taxes on the wealthy, especially coming out of the Assembly Democratic Conference. Governor said that he did not support that. There was a higher tax surcharge on the wealthy that was due to expire in 2012. And so what he did was, in December 2011, he came up with a tax plan with the legislature where the rate for the wealthy, those making $1 million or $2 million or more, would not go down as much as they said it would, but it would go down a tiny percent. So that way he was able to say everybody's paying lower taxes than they were before I came into office, even though they were going to pay more than they should have been, you know, if they had not done what they did. So basically, he ran around saying we cut taxes, even though it raised $2 billion, which in the history of the world, I've never heard of a tax cut that actually raised revenue.
Right. There was going to be an expiration of a temporary income tax surcharge on the highest earners. And Cuomo and the legislature agreed that the whole thing wouldn't expire. Part of it would expire. So is that a tax hike because it was going to go back to where it had been, or is that a tax cut because it was less than the temporary higher amount? That's the political needle and financial needle that they threaded in that particular case.
And then in this March, they extended that out again. It was supposed to expire, I think, next year or the year after, and they extended it out another 3 years. So he has said, first of all, he doesn't want to touch the income tax. We've already done that. But also, regarding de Blasio, he told the Daily News editorial board that, look, you know, people may not be happy that they're paying more than they would have been paying under the old rule, but I can honestly look them in the eye and say the arrow is going down. You are paying less. The arrow is going down. And he says he's afraid that if the arrow goes up, like under de Blasio's plan, if you're going to raise taxes, then the wealthy can leave New York. He used the argument that they're mobile, they don't have to be based here anymore, and they can leave for Florida, and that's what worries him, that, you know, millionaires will leave the state if they raise taxes. It sends the wrong message. De Blasio obviously argues otherwise. These two have a good relationship. Most people think they'll find a way to find money to fund this program without necessarily raising the taxes.
And for Larry and everybody else, we looked up what we could on that actual number. And according to The New Yorker, for taxpayers earning $1 million a year, the annual extra cost would be $2,120. So decide how you feel about it, pro, con, mix, whatever. But that's a rough number. For taxpayers earning $1 million a year, the annual extra cost under the de Blasio plan for people living in New York City would be about $2,100 in New York City. One more call. Angelique in Brooklyn. Angelique, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. So this is my first time calling in. I love your show.
Thank you.
So I was wondering about former Governor George Pataki, when he was discussing how lowering taxes was helping small business owners, but in reality, it only helped people who were in the wealthiest class. So I'm not really sure how he justifies in his mind that by doing that, he's creating more jobs in the private sector when, like, tax breaks, no one has ever hired anybody because they had a tax break. Like, just doesn't make sense to me.
Angelique, thank you. And we've looked at that question, has anybody ever hired anybody, let's say, because of a government tax incentive to partially subsidize new workers? So are people ever hired because of a tax break? That's probably a complicated question, and there are probably some instances of it. But Ken, I think her main point was on this perhaps purposeful conflating of people making $500,000 or more with small business owners, because certainly some small business owners are going to be in that category, but a lot of small business owners don't make anywhere near $500,000. So there's a political calculation there in equating small business owners with the $500,000 plus class, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you could also make the argument that, you know, the taxes have to remain even higher because even though they cut taxes, and there's no doubt George Pataki did, they didn't cut spending. You know, spending went up dramatically under George Pataki.
Right.
The only difference was they used borrowing to pay for it.
And it would be a neat trick if Cuomo pulls off what you say he might try to pull off next year, which would be to fund the city for the extra money that universal pre-K would cost without raising any kind of new revenue. The money has to come from somewhere.
The money has to come from somewhere, and that's, you know, like I said, they say there's going to be extra revenue, but if they're going to cut taxes, you know, we'll see. He's going to put out his budget in January, but I think he feels he has to do something for de Blasio, a new mayor who came in with, you know, almost three-quarters of the vote. He also has a problem on the left side of the party, the progressive side of the party, because They now have a voice and a champion in Bill de Blasio. Cuomo has been weak in that area with the progressives
right.
since he's gotten in. But really, there was no one. You know, you had groups and advocates. But now you have the mayor of New York City who's
yes.
going to be pushing these.
Well,
you have a governor who's looking for re-election. It's going to be an interesting dynamic.
We just have 15 seconds. But if we presume that there's going to be no meaningful challenge from the left in a Democratic primary to Andrew Cuomo, is he really setting himself up here not just for his reelection, but for a potential presidential run, let's say if Hillary Clinton doesn't in 2016?
I think it's always on the table with the governor. However, again, to win a Democratic primary nationally, you need the progressive wing of the party, and that's going to be an interesting balancing act for him.
Ken Lovett, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Ken, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It is Veterans Day, and after the news, Kurt Anderson from Studio 360 joins me for a Veterans Day conversation. Studio 360 did an American Icons piece on the Vietnam War Memorial. We will play some excerpts and take calls from Vietnam-era vets, as well as anybody who has visited the wall. Stay with us.